We're in the sixth verse of the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Again, it does not end there, whether you're saved or lost. This, of course, is referring to a saved person. But it doesn't end with all the days of my life. There's an and. And in the case of the saved, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've seen thus far that this house of the Lord is referring to heaven. Based that on 2 Corinthians 5. You see, heaven is a real place, has a definite location. We've looked at the heaven is a place of joy. In fact, it is called the joy of the Lord. And we've seen that there will be the joy of seeing Christ. We get glimpses in this life by faith. It's the only way we can see Him in this life is by faith. In heaven, faith is fulfilled, and we no longer will see by faith, we will see by sight. And we've seen that what we see of the Lord here is through a glass darkly. That is, we do not get the complete picture. If we did, we wouldn't be able to endure it in these fleshly bodies. So there's the joy of seeing Christ, and I believe that is the chief joy of heaven. All the other joys of heaven center around this joy of seeing Christ. But there are many other joys, but again, the primary joy is seeing Christ. And that will be uninterrupted. All our sights of Christ in this life are hindered and are interrupted, but not so in heaven. There will be the enjoyment of the Lord Himself, and that is the joy of heaven. As we walk through the circumstances of this life, and there are many, they're varied. And we do experience the joy, the enjoyment of the Lord. And we have felt the presence of the Lord. Again, we've had those times of just enjoying the Lord. But heaven will be something completely different. You and I have never, in this life, had the full enjoyment of the Lord. Again, if we did, we would not be able to endure it in these earthly bodies. We learn from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And heaven is the presence of the Lord. Wherever you go in heaven is the full enjoyment of His presence. The full enjoyment of the presence of God. Everywhere in heaven will be the glory of God. Notice in Revelation Chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, I want to read verse 11, just the first part, and then verse 23. It's talking about the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. That is true of every single thing in heaven, having the glory of God. Verse 23, and the city, same one that was being described, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God lighteth it. The glory of God lights up all of heaven. Everywhere you go is the glory of the Lamb or of the Lord, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, the glory of God is the magnificence of God. We know that Moses experienced the glory of God. He did not experience all of it, and it's made plain there in the book of Exodus that he didn't. And what he did experience, God had to hide him in a rock. Otherwise, he would not have survived. No doubt others had glimpses of the glory of God. John here in the Isle of Patmos, writing the book of Revelation, certainly had glimpses of the glory of God. That is, the magnificence of God. We've all had glimpses of the magnificence of God. The word glory refers to a weight. In other words, it's something you can feel. It's something that takes over. And the light of heaven is the glory, the magnificence of God. Glory is something that radiates. It's something that leaves a lasting impression. When you experience the glory of God, you do not get over it in 5 minutes. It leaves an impression. So imagine the joy. Imagine the enjoyment of the glory of God. And that is for all of eternity, the glory of God. So there's the enjoyment of seeing Christ. There's the enjoyment of the glory of the Lord. There will also be the joy of knowledge. In this life, in our saved life, we have partial knowledge of spiritual truths. Now, there are some in our fellowship, who believe that they have reached the pinnacle of knowledge in a certain area of Scripture. They haven't even come close. No one has. Our knowledge is incomplete in this life. We thank God for what we do know, but we know so very little. We know so very little about God. We know so very, in comparison to what can be known, in comparison to what He is, we know very little. We know very little about Jesus Christ. We know very little about the Holy Spirit. We know very little about spiritual things. But in heaven, there is a knowledge that far surpasses earthly knowledge. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we have in the knowledge that we have in this life, the truths that God has shown us and given us some knowledge concerning. There's enjoyment in that. I find great enjoyment in the little bit of truth that the Lord reveals. But it's just, there's a knowledge in heaven that far, far surpasses. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "For we know in part." That's always so in this life. I don't care if it's spiritual things or whatever it is. We know in part. Because we know in part, we prophesy. We preach in part. We preach what we know. Some people preach what they don't know, but we preach what we know. We only know in part, and therefore we preach in part. I try to stay away from, as far as preaching, things that I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me to get up and talk about something that you don't know about. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. There's a time when that which in part shall be done away. There's a growth. We ought to be learning more and more every day. Our knowledge ought to be increasing by the day. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, there's growth. And so it is in our Christian life. There ought to be growth in our knowledge. There ought to be growth in our understanding. But no matter how much growth there is, we only know in part. We only know in part. I put away childish things. For now, in this earthly life, we see through a glass darkly. But then, talking about heaven, face to face, now I know in part. So that's the second time that he has said that. He said it back in verse 9. That needs to get a hold of us, that we know in part. Our knowledge is partial. But then shall I know, even as also I am known. That's quite an increase in knowledge. I will know even as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, and but the greatest of these is charity. And the reason the greatest is charity is because faith will end with sight, and hope will be fulfilled. But charity continues on. There's no end. But we see here that our knowledge in heaven, we enjoy the knowledge we have now, but it's only partial. Therefore, our joy is only partial. But in heaven, there is a knowledge that is unimaginable. Unimaginable. There are, well, never mind, I'm not going to go there. There will be the joy of knowledge. There will also be the joy of rest. Heaven is a place of rest. By rest, we do not mean leisure. It's not a place of leisure. It is a place of rest. That is, in heaven, we will be occupied. We will be occupied singing unto the Lord, praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So it's not a place of leisure, but it is a perfect rest, a complete rest from all trials, from all afflictions, from all miseries and sorrows and difficulties. Notice in Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, you know, people today want this rest, and they want it now, but this perfect rest is not found in this life. We have moments of rest, peace, deliverance, but complete rest is not found in this life. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There is a rest. There remaineth, it continues, for the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his on that seventh day. So we see there is a rest for the people of God. There is a rest that we will enter into. We enter into it. We're surrounded by it. And this rest is described, we cease from our own works. We cease from this earthly life. We cease from all fleshly works. There is a rest. It is a perfect rest, a perfect peace. Not to be found in this life. In Revelation 21, in verse 1, it says, there will be no more sea. No more sea. Now that's true figuratively or in reality, but it's also, this is more figurative. There will be no more sea. The sea has reference to storms and unrest. There'll be no more storms. There'll be no more unrest. The sea is very mysterious. It's very, very mysterious. And that which is mysterious, of course, many times interrupts our rest. There will be no more sea. In other words, there will be perfect and glorious rest. We anticipate it. We look forward to it. There will also be the joy of glorified bodies. Now, we cannot even begin to wrap our heads around a glorified body. We've never experienced anything like it. We've never seen anything like it. But we will have glorified bodies. And I believe we will enjoy those glorified bodies. We'll certainly enjoy the results of those glorified bodies, which is we'll be able to behold the beauties of Christ. We'll be able to see Christ. But what is a glorified body? What is it? Well, in Psalm 17... Psalm 17, and verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. That's the joy of seeing Christ. I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. A glorified body is the likeness of Jesus Christ. It's perfect. It's without flaw. It's without defect. We can't imagine. It's without decay. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 42, speaking of the resurrection, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It, that is the body, is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption, that is indestructible. A glorified body is indestructible. You cannot hurt it. You cannot damage it. It is indestructible. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So a glorified body is indestructible, free from corruption. It is glorious. It is powerful. It is spiritual. A glorified body. And all the enjoyment of a glorified body. No aches, no pains. A glorified body. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation, that is our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. So a glorified body, of course, it goes without saying, is a changed body, changed by the Lord Himself, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Not fashioned unto the earthly body of Christ, but fashioned unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So in order to get a glorified body, all things must be subdued. That speaks of victory. A glorified body is a victorious body. 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. That is, we don't understand what we shall be. Everything we read, it's wonderful. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him. Again, a glorified body is like Christ. And all the joy of a glorified body. Because of that glorified body, we'll be able to enjoy all the other things of heaven. Without that glorified body, if we just went to heaven in these earthly bodies and their weakness, we could not enjoy heaven. A glorified body is a changed body. It's a healed body. It's a body like Christ. It's perfect. It's perfect. And all the enjoyment of a glorified body. And as you get older, the longer you live in these earthly bodies, the more aches and the more pains and the more problems you begin to have as the earthly body decays, you begin to long for that glorified body. You begin to think about a glorified body. It's beyond comprehension, just like all of heaven is beyond comprehension. But all the joy of heaven. Heaven is a place of joy. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we again thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace and mercy to us. All the blessings that You bestow upon us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the little knowledge and understanding that You've given each one of us of Your word. And we pray, Lord, that our knowledge and understanding would increase until that day that we'll know no longer in part. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. And we just pray that You'd be with us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.